hard to introduce somebody on a day like today. It's hard to speak about zechuyos on a day like today. But we do have a tremendous zechus hosting Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, a dear chaver of mine. Someone grew up together, parents around the corner from each other. His amazing ability to teach clarity, mesika, sweetness. He's a large following of Talmidim, Balabatim, and not counting his father this morning, but I see there member a number of people from Bergenfield and Teaneck and Talmidim who have come to hear him. I don't want to embarrass him because he's a tremendous anav, and only so much I could say in a morning like today, but just realize we have someone very special and unique with us this morning being in the keynotes. And here we are again, sitting on the floor, sitting in Galus, no Beis HaMikdash, no Mashiach, no peace. To look back, since last year, what has happened, what we've experienced as a Tzibor, as Am Yisrael, tragedies, on a global level, community level, personal levels, losses of Gedolim, leaders, the rise of anti-Semitism, personal tragedies, fires this past year, house fires, disease, sickness. The question is, what can we do? What can we do to prevent, to fix this world from spiraling out of control? The keynote is about mourning, it's about Avelus, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, all tragedies that befell us throughout history. How do we react? What's our tikkun? What can we do to fix this crazy world we live in? The Tishba is not only about remembering what happened, but it's also about how we better ourselves. When we read three Haftaros up until Tishba, the past 3 weeks, Dibru Shimu V'Chazon. Speak, listen, and to see. These are three elements we have to fix, especially as it culminates on Tisha B'Av. These three elements need to be fixed. We need to work on speech, we need to work on hearing, we need to work on our vision, what we look at, what we see. And how on a day like today we're sitting on the floor saying keynotes and crying, how do we fix? How's a way of fixing these elements? I understand through our tefillos, through our kinos, through screaming, through crying out, we could clean our peh, our speech, by screaming and davening and kinos. And our hearing, when we scream and hearing the kinos from ourselves, from our friends, we could clean our hearing. But the vision, how do we clean our vision on a day like today? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, that if you look through the Pesukim and Eicha, some it's brought down halacha, some have a custom of saying Eicha today also. They're in Aleph Beis, the first four proclam in Aleph Beis order. Except for there are two letters that are out of order. The Pei and the Ayin are out of order. And the Gemara and Chelek tell us that the Chedem Raglim, the first tragedy that happened on Tisha B'Av, because they spoke before they saw, they said what they didn't see. The Pei, the mouth came before the Ayin. So the Pei therefore comes before the Ayin in Eicha. We need to correct the ayin, we need to correct the peh. We need to correct what we see, we need to correct what we said. We need to put them back in the right order. The ayin comes before the peh. But how do we fix the peh? How do we fix the ayin? How do we fix the speech? How do we fix the vision? Crying is the way we fix the speech. That's how we fix the peh. As we belt out crying, the kinos, as we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, that's how we fix the peh. Remember the Holocaust, remember the Crusade, remember all the tragedies. But how do we cleanse the eyes? How do we fix the ayin? How do we fix our vision? So the answer, I believe, is also the crying. If we take the crying to the next level, till we shed a tear from our eyes, a tear drips down our cheek, that's how we clean the vision. That's how we clean the ayin. Big contrast between Tisha B'Av and Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, in Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're supposed to re-experience and relive Yetzias Mitzrayim. Today, we're supposed to re-experience and relive all the tragedies that we went through, the Holocaust, the Crusade, the Korban Beis HaMikdash, if we could really relive it, we could really internalize, we could maybe get to the point of shedding a tear. That's how I think we could purify the ayin, put the ayin back in its place. We could purify the chazon, the vision. This is the avoda of the dead, crying and shedding tears. What does a tear mean? What is a tear? What's a dima? Throughout Chumash, we don't find the word dima that appears in Chumash. But there are a number of chazal, midrashim, that speak about what a tear is. Yitzchak, we were told Yitzchak couldn't see by the time he gave the brachas. Chazal tells because when he's at Kedas Yitzchak, the heavens opened up and the malachim shed these tears. The malachim shed tears. They fell into the eyes of Yitzchak and he couldn't see anymore. Leah, we're told, had einayin rachos. Her eyes were soft, weak, red, bloodshot. Because she was crying, because she was told she was going to marry the older brother, Esav. So she was crying and crying. It was her neshama crying out. Perhaps the most perplexing medrash we find about the koach of a dima, the koach of a tear, is Machlokas Gevar Basar, who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah. Yeshua Nevel and Nehemiah argue, did Moshe write his own death? Or do Yeshua write the death of Moshe? Moshe didn't complete the Sefer Torah, as Yeshua wrote the last six of them. Or did Moshe write his own death? And we say that Moshe wrote his own death, Bidima. He used his own tears. And he wrote the last eight Pesukim with his own tears. The Sefer Torah that was in the Aron, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, was incomplete. The last eight Pesukim were tears. You couldn't see them, but the last eight Pesukim were tears of Moshe Rabbeinu that completed the Sefer Torah that is in the Kodesh Kedoshim. In essence, a tear is water and salt. Salt and water. Salt water. The salt water that we have is the Leil Seder that we dip in to remember the tears in Mitzrayim. What's the penimius of melach? What's the penimius of salt? What does salt represent? The pasuk tells us that every single carbon had to have salt sprinkled on the carbon. Every single carbon. Rashi tells us, the reason being because the Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Kadosh Baruch Hu separated between the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. And needless to say, the Mayim Tachtonim were very, very upset that they wanted to also be in the Elyonim. But they were left below in the Mayim Tachtonim. And Medrash says that the way Kadosh Baruch Hu appeased the Mayim Tachtonim was, don't worry, every carbon will have melach that comes from you. From the sea waters, from the oceans, the salt's going to come from you, and go on this bech, and up in that fire is going to return to the Elyonim. So Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to know, though, the salt, what about the water? The salt's going up, and not the water. Just to get the salt, you need to first evaporate the water. You evaporate the water, and the water goes up. Then you take the rest of the salt you place on the carbon, and the salt goes up as well. Every carbon has that salt, has that water of the Mayim Tachtonim that returns to the Mayim Elyonim. The salt water tears are meant to be elevated to the highest order. The Elyonim. It's interesting to note that the Yam HaMelech, very highly filled with salt, elevates the person. He floats. Salt water, which also comes in the form of tears, it belongs in Shemayim. Salt water has this magnetic pull up to the Elyonim. It descends above through the offering of Karbanos, through the conduit of the Beis HaMikdash, which we're told is the Makom where the Elyonim and the Tachtonim meet. Through tears is the way we bring back, connect the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. Crying is a result of extreme emotion. Sometimes it could be happy, sometimes it could be sad, but it's an extreme emotion. It's an expression of our emotions, an expression of our neshama. It's the way our neshama is connecting the Elyonim Tachtonim, where the neshama belongs in the Elyonim. It connects the two of them, it bridges that gap. A teardrop is a It's megala, our neshama's deepest, most feelings. As men, boys growing up, we try to do anything to avoid crying. Crying are for women, right? For girls. It's for the weak, we say. It's actually quite the contrary. Crying is for the most spiritual, for the tzaddikim, and women have to be much higher level than we are. That's why they connect to it so much. There's rarely a shir that I heard from Rav Schechter or a conversation I've had with Rav Schechter where he's not crying at some point during the shir. When you're such a tzaddik, when you're so connected, your neshama is so connected, crying comes very easily because your neshama is connected. This explains why the last 8 psukim of the Torah was written with tears. Through the naked eye, Moshe's Torah was incomplete. The last 8 psukim were empty, it was blank. But to the Shemaim, to the Malachim, the same Malachim who cried, who shed some tears on Akedat Yitzchak, to Hashem, this was the highest form of Torah. It was complete with the most spiritual ink that we have, the most tears that come from Shemaim. If you're sensitive to it, if you can see the ruchnis of the tears, you could see Moshe Rabbeinu's tears, how he completed the last 8 psukim of the Torah. This is what's the center, the Kodesh Kadashim, the Sefer Torah, the Inner Kodesh Kadashim, complete with the last 8 psukim of the tears of Moshe Rabbeinu. When's the last time any of us cried? Not including a death of a friend or a relative, Rahman al-Islam, or a sickness, but when do we cry about something, another Jew? Do we feel the pain of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Do we realize how distant we are from Hashem? I had the great fortune of learning Eretz Yisrael for 1.5 years in HaKotel. And aside from being so close to the Makom HaMikdash, I got to witness Rav Nevin Zal Shlita. A few times I caught a glimpse of him staring out the window. And you could see the Makom HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash should be. He would just stare out the window and you'd see a teardrop roll down his cheek. I saw this twice, and I was told he does this 3 times a day. Every single day he goes to that same window, stares and cries, and then moves on. 3 times every single day. Can we shed just one tear on a day like today? The Sefer Yetzirah tells us that each of the months correspond to different parts of the body. And Tammuz and Av correspond to day 9. Eine Eidi, Eine Eini Yardi Dima, Yamayim. Pas Eicha says, Eine Eini, our eyes, 2 eyes, Av, Tammuz and Av, correspond to the teardrops that we're supposed to shed in the months like these. These tears, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, go directly to Shemayim. The Gemara tells in Brachos that although the gates of Tefillah have been shut, the gates of tears have not been. The way to get Tefillahs and Shemayim are through teardrops. Now we can't do this without the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is our connection between the Elyon and the Tachtonim. The Torah tells us when Binyamin and Yitzchak were reunited, they met, they cried each other's necks. And Rashi tells us, Yosef and Midon. And Rashi tells us they were crying because the Bate Migdash that were going to be in the Chelek of Binyamin and the Mishkan that was going to be in the Chelek of Yosef. So why the neck? Why does the neck represent the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan? So the Shema Shmuel explains, as the neck connects the body to the head, the Beis HaMikdash connects the Elyonim to the Tachtonim. That's where we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where we connect to the Elyonim. Crying, particularly with tears, is an expression of the Neshama's Cheshek to reunite with the Elyonim. We want to be back with the Elyonim. We want that Beis HaMikdash to connect us back. Hashem too pours out tears every single day, the Gemara tells us. Over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, 2 for the 2 Bat HaMikdash and 1 for the Galus that we're in. It's these tears that the Malachim shed, the tears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself sheds, because we don't have that connection of the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. The tears want to come back to the Elyonim. The teardrops is a physical manifestation of our emotions, of our neshama. If we could cry enough, if enough tears are shed, we could prove to Hashem that we really, really want this Beis HaMikdash back. Our neshama really, really wants to return. We yearn that day for the connection of Hashem, that they, everyone will know Hashem. Now, being led by Rav Moshe Tzvi, let's show the heavens, show the Elyonim, show the Ribono Shalom how sad we really are, how much we really, really do care, how much we want this Mashiach to come. And let's shed some tears together. Let's cry together.
Trying to make sense of, as I'm sure many of you are, when Weinberger asked me to join you this morning, I was thinking, I guess Rebbe wants the Kehillah to feel the Chorban a little bit more this year. I can't imagine, in so many years Rebbe's been here to guide everyone through a difficult day, to help make sense a little bit of the the craziness of everything that we're trying to feel today. And like many of the tzaddikim who wanted to push the geula forward with their great wisdom, with their great depth of their spirit, so Rebbe went to Yerushalayim to do whatever Rebbe is doing. And he left us here. Baruch Hashem, he left Rebbe Levin. But it makes it a little more challenging to find the words to try to fill in some small way. And Bechlau, the whole day is a day where a Yid doesn't know what to say. Even if we think we know what to say, and we spend a lot of the day trying to figure out what to say and how to say and how to feel. But Lamaisa, I think there's a part of us that all knows there's really not much to say. There's nothing to say. Last year, by the keynotes, Rebbe shared the story of the last Purim in Klausenburg. I'm sure many of the Chevra remember it well. And he described what it was like in that final Purim. The Hungarians had already been beating the Rebbe mercilessly. And some of the Chevra got together for Purim. You can only imagine what the feelings were like. And they're sitting with their Rebbe, the Klausenburger Rebbe. This was a few weeks before the Germans came. And one of the Rosh Hakal, a Yid by the name of Rav Yosef Chaim Rothschild, he's sitting there, it's Purim, they're trying a little bit, Shnechlas Adar, trying to feel a little bit of the Simcha of those days. And all of a sudden, this Rav Yosef Chaim starts crying, he starts bawling, and he turns to the Klausenberger Rebbe. And he says, Rebbe, tell the Ribono Shalom it's enough already. Tell the Ribono Shalom, what if this is Purim? And if you remember how Rav Weinberger described last year, the Rebbe let out, in that moment, the Rebbe closed his eyes and he let out this horrible piercing scream. And Rav Weinberger said last year that in so many ways, all of the keynotes that we're going to say today, all of the feelings that we're trying to, all of the screams, both those that are openly spoken and those, the silent scream, like Rabbi Nachman described, that every one of our hearts is screaming out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, enough already. And to try, like our 11th said, to shed a few tears, to feel, there's a part of us that just wants to scream. The first kina, the opening word of the first kina, I think really, in many ways, captures exactly that feeling. The first word that we recite today is Shabbos. Shabbos. Shabbos means that everything's gone, everything's stopped. The art scroll translates, everything came to a standstill. The whole world was quiet, was silent. Rav Elazar HaKalir, Shabbos. Shabbos. Shabbos means that there's not really much to say. Shabbos means that there's been a chorban, and it's too late to try to be metakin. Shabbos is this very heavy, painful silence that descends upon Klal Yisrael today. We're trying to figure out, we're trying to make sense, we're trying to find the words. But the Vaisa, there's a feeling of Shabbos. There's a feeling of that there's really nothing to say. And there's no words to be mechazik. And there's nothing we could do to get back everything that we lost. I was reading a book recently. It's called The Bus on Jaffa Road. Written by a journalist, a secular fellow from New Jersey. And it's about that horrible bus bombing that took place in Rehov Yafo. And I'm sure many people in the room remember. It was a long time ago, but it wasn't so long ago, 1996. It was February, 6:45 in the morning. There's a young woman studying in Eretz Yisrael, lived not far from where I live in Bergenfield, a woman from Teaneck, a young woman who was killed in that attack. And in the second chapter of this book, he describes the worst sound that a person could possibly hear, or not hear, after a terrorist attack. The worst sound after a terrorist bombing is no sound, silence. That is the telltale sign of death. Silence means that those closest to the blast have been killed or hurt so badly that they can't even scream in pain or shout for help. And if a bomb explodes on a crowded thoroughfare, such as Yerushalayim's Rehov Yafo during the morning rush hour, silence means the casualty count will be high. On February 25th, 1996, David Sofer, an 18-year-old ambulance driver and emergency medic, heard the unmistakable metallic thud of the blast as he walked east on Tzari Yisrael Street towards the junction of Yafo Road. Then came the silence. Smoke rose in the morning sky about 400 meters away. He broke into a run towards the smoke. As he drew closer, he found himself composing a mental checklist of what he should do when he reached the scene. First, he would look for anyone seriously injured. Then he would determine who needed attention first. He ran across the bridge and saw the number 18 bus. And then he felt the silence. It was quiet, he said. It was a very scary moment. You expect to see movement. You expect to see people running. But as I was coming closer, I felt like I walked into a cemetery. Nobody was moving. And I think that's the nauseating feeling that the Kalir is trying to give us in this opening word of the Kina, Shabbos. It's deathly silent. And everything's gone. We think back over all the korbanos of Klal Yisrael's history. And we're sitting here again. Like Rabbi Levin started with, we're sitting here again. Rabbi Safar Dov of Belz, one year by Eichel, he was on his way to Shul. And as he's walking to Shul on the night of Tisha B'Av, he lets out this sigh, and he says, Ribbono Shalom, what's the tachlis of another Tisha B'Av? What's the tachlis of another Tisha B'Av? That's the feeling that we all have. That's the Shabbos. That's... where do we start? How do we do this again? How do we muster up the energy for more tears and more feelings and more diburim, and more chizuk, and more tikkunim? There's a feeling of, like the Belz Rebbe said, Nachamol Tisha B'Av, Nachamol Tisha B'Av. I need to do this again, Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm just looking at the floor of this room. It reminds me a little bit of the Kotel. We're sitting here, standing on the Kotel. In Baruch Hashem, the walls of this room are filled with the Nagunim and the Divrei Torah, of Rabbah Deravim, of all the Shalashudis, and all the things that happen here in such a positive way. And yet, there's a part of us, Shabbos, there's nothing to say. There's the Klausenberg Rebbe scream, there's the Belz Rebbe's Nachamol Tisha B'Av. Muster up the strength again to do this again. A couple of years ago, I was talking to Rabbi Arya Leibowitz from North Woodmere. He told me a conversation he had with one of his daughters. She was about 4 years old at the time, was a Tisha B'Av. And she said to her father, she said, Abba, what's Tisha B'Av? So he says, Tisha B'Av, he said, Imas and Abba's fast. She wasn't satisfied. He don't want to get into it with her too much. So she said, Why do Imas and Abba's fast? So he says to her, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And she looks at him the way that a The Gemara says that little children seem to have Ruach HaKodesh these days, seem to know what to say when no one else knows what to say. And she says, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again? Yeah, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again. Yerushalmi says, Kol dor shelo nivna Beis HaMikdash b'yamav kilu nechav b'yamav. So taka, yeah. What's the tachlis of Nachum Ol Tisha B'Av? Nachum Ol Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again. And we have to do it again. But again, there's that feeling of Shabbos. There's that feeling of, I pashut don't know what to say, I don't know where to begin. To find the words to approach this day is basically impossible. So Chazal gave us some advice, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Vav. Amar Rav Papa, Agra de Beitamia Shtikusa. Rav Papa says the reward for a person in a Beis Avil, in a house of mourning, a person who's smart and he comes to pay a shiva call. Rav will speak about it this afternoon. We'll learn more about what it means to pay a proper shiva call. But Rav Papa already told us long ago, brachos davav, the reward, a person wants to have reward, schar, not that anyone goes to pay a shiva call to get a reward. No one's looking for a reward. But if a person wants to do it right, agra de beitam yashtikusa. Marshal Nakamara quotes the Gemara Moed Katan Dav Kavchas. Well-known Maimar Chazal. Unfortunately, people are not always so sensitive to this. That when one goes to pay a shiva call, so a person sits quietly. If the mortar wants to talk, if the mortar opens the conversation, engages in the conversation, then it's the yachrayis of the person who's paying the shiva call to continue the conversation. But the responsibility of the person who's in a house of mourning is more or less shtikusa. Is the silence, is the shavas. Is that painful silence where there's nothing to say. And this morning, all of Klal Yisrael is one big Beitamya. Agra de Beitamya Shtikusa. Klal Yisrael is one big Beis Avel. One big Beis Avel. So strange, I was driving this morning in, driving a little bit along the water, and people are jogging, going about their business, it's a Sunday morning. Such a strange thing, the world is going about its business, enjoying a nice Sunday, people heading to the beach. Talk with all the flip-flops and the beach chairs. The Lamais, it's very different in here. It's very, very, very different. It's not a regular Sunday. Klal Yisrael is one big Beit Tamya. And therefore, if usually Klal Yisrael tries to have the right diburim, it tries to know what to say and how to say. The Elazar Clear says, Shavas, today is a day to just sit quietly and to try to absorb a little bit what's going on. And there's, again, it's a day filled with diburim. We're going to talk a lot. We're going to say a lot of kinos, a lot of tfilos, a lot of divrei chizuk. We have to say, we have to try to find the words to make sense of it. But to realize that essentially, what Chazal are telling us, if we want to really, really understand this day, it's nothing that any of us can say. It's nothing that any of the words of the kinos can really capture. There has to be just a moment of a yid sitting by himself or with each other as much as the halacha allows us to sit together and to be together, to not even be able to greet one another, and to try to just absorb, to try to, in the silence, to make sense of some of the loss. There's a mice with Rav Pam one time, there was a family that lost a child. Basically no greater chorban than a family who loses a child at a young age. What do you say? Anyone's had that terribly unfortunate opportunity to pay such a shiva call, there's really, really nothing to say. And Rav Pam comes in and he sits down with the family and he just starts crying. And everyone's waiting. What's Rav Pam, this great Rosh Yeshiva, what's he going to say? How's he going to be machazik the family? And he sits there, he's crying. 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes go by, 20 minutes go by. Rav Pam's just sitting there and he's bawling and he's bawling and he's bawling. And after about 20 minutes, Rav Pam gets up and he says, "Hamokim Menachem Eschem," and he walks out. And the parents said that of all the people who came, the fact that Rav Pam and Adam Gadol B'Yisrael could sit with them and to understand and to appreciate, like Rav Papa said, that there's really nothing to say at all, they said that was the biggest nechama to them. I want to read to you a few lines from an article I saw a few years ago from Rabbi Blech. Also describing one of the most remarkable shiva calls that he ever saw. I've come to a personal conclusion about what it means to make a condolence call best. In three words, just be there. What mourners need most is the gift of you. Words often miss their mark. They may hurt as often as they heal. What leaves no room for misunderstanding, however, is a simple hug, a shared tear, the language conveyed by our presence. It is a truth I came to best realize in one of the most remarkable shivvits I ever witnessed. The mourner was a young widow, mother of four, who had suddenly and without warning lost her husband, a brilliant Talmudic scholar and revered teacher of hundreds of devoted students. We came to the shiva house, colleagues, friends, disciples, none of us knew what to say. Nervously, we attempted some conversation. All eyes suddenly turned to the door as we noticed the arrival of Moshe Feinstein, a blessed memory, one of the greatest rabbinic luminaries of the generation. We held our breaths in anticipation. What would this great scholar have to say to the widow? Moshe would have the words. What could we learn from the way he handled the situation? Moshe started to tell the mournings what a great man the deceased was, how learned, how pious, how righteous. But after no more than two sentences, the rabbi choked up and could say no more. He wept, tried again, and then he remained silent. He sat for about 20 minutes, all the while making clear his grief. He then rose and offered the traditional words recited for the occasion of Makom Yenachem Eschem B'Soch Shaarei Vleitzim B'Yerushalayim. And after he was gone, and for many days thereafter, the widow would tell everyone how much she had gained from that visit. So if Rav Papa is telling us in Brachos Da'avav that there's really nothing to say, and Rav Pam understood that there's nothing to say, and Rav Moshe understood that there's nothing to say, and yet we wanna talk, we wanna hear. Rabbi told me I should talk. He said you should talk. People wanna talk more than say the kinos. It's chaval. It's chaval that we have so many diburim. It's chaval that we have so many stories and vardlach to try to feel something. It's chaval. It's chaval. It's the greatest giloy that we have no understanding. The fact that we have so much that we think we know how to say or want to say and think to find the words to be mechazik. It's the greatest giloy milsa that we have no clue really what's going on. I want to read you a medrash. There's a medrash in Eicha Rabba. Medrash says, Medrash in the second parak. Medrash is commenting on the pasuk we read last night. Bila Hashem v'lo chamal. Kadosh Baruch Hu was so furious with us; he didn't hold back anything. Medrash says Rabbi Yochanan Avidarish Shisen Apid. Rabbi Yochanan had 60 explanations of this pasuk, 60 drashos. Bila Hashem v'lo chamal. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Avidarish Esrim Va'arba'an. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said 24 drashas on the pasuk. So who knows more about the pasuk? Rabbi Yochanan had 60 drashas. Rabbi had 24 drashas. Says the Medrash, don't be mistaken. Velod Rabbi Yochanan Yatir Rabbi. It's not that Rabbi Yochanan understood it better. It was a better darshan than Rabbi. El Rabbi al yedei shahaya samuch lechor ben abayis hayenizkor vayedorish uvochum esnach. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was actually closer to the korban. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who understood the Chorban so much more, started to darshan, and then he would start to cry. And that's why Rabbi was only able to say 24 explanations. Rabbi Yochanan, who lives farther away from the Chorban, literally a generation later, already Rabbi Yochanan was able to compose himself a little bit more, he was able to talk a little bit more, he was able to say 60 pshatim, 60 explanations of Bila Hashem v'lo chamal. Rav Gifter once made the point to emphasize this medrash. About 20 years, the Telz was completely destroyed. Telz was completely destroyed. 1941 was Oyem Venora for Telz. Telz was completely, completely destroyed. The horrible stories that came from that tekufa. And about 20 years later, Rav Gifter was reflecting on the Chorban of Telz, of his world. And Rav Gifter quoted this medrash, how Rabbi Yochanan was able to talk so much more, but really understood so much less. And Rabbi was a generation earlier, could speak so much less, but clearly understood so much more. And Rav Gifter said, it's 20 years now since our Chorban. Talking to the Yeshiva and Telz, it's 20 years since the Chorban of Telz in 1941. And he says, a whole generation has passed. And he said, unfortunately, we're starting to find the words to talk about it more. So can you imagine Rav Gifter's 20 years after tells, already feels, he's trying to mechazi people, but we're already disconnected from it. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in his time, 24 drushes. Rabbi Yochanan in his time, 60 drushes. So you can imagine now, almost 2,000 years after the Chorban, like Rabbi Levin said, we have no shaykhis to Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It's so far. It's so distant. And by default, we're left to spend the day with many diburim and many videos and many shiurim. But it's all the Giloy Milsa. It's all the Giloy Milsa of the fact that we don't really understand anything that's happening. And again, I think that's why the Kina begins Shavas. Shavas, take a moment at some point over the day. We need to read, we need to hear, we need to talk, we need to somehow be machazik ourselves to even begin to turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh again. But at the same time, we have to know that if we really want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we got what's going on here, if we really want to understand that Klal Yisrael is one big Beis Tamia, then Agra de Beis Tamia is Shtikusa. And it was the exact same thing last night by Eicha. You'll notice by Eicha, how does it begin? It says Eicha, and then there's a psik. There's a pause right after them. There's a line, there's a psik. As if to say, Klal Yisrael wants to just scream out that scream of the Klausenberger Rebbe, Eicha. That's it. We're done. There's nothing more to say. Psik. That's everything. Eicha says everything that we want to say. I'm going to be able to say it better with a cute story. And as you go through Eichel, you'll notice that the words actually come more readily, come more easily as time goes on. By the second paragraph already, we're talking a little more. We're philosophizing a bit. Eichel yahiv ba'apo, but how could you get so angry at us? At first it's Eichel psik, Eichel, I have nothing more to say. But as time goes on, so to speak, the arrangement of the Eichel yahiv ba'apo, we want to talk Ravon HaShalom with you, we want to understand, why did you get so angry with us? By the fourth parak, already, the third and final time that we say, Eicha, Eicha, Yuam Zahav, which of course is talking about the spiritual gold of Klal Yisrael, but it's also talking about the physical gold, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Look how the gold has dimmed. Look at the Chorban, from a physical standpoint. We lose perspective as time goes on. So again, it's Metzias is that we need to talk. Metzias is that we need to try to find the words to feel a little something. But again, if we want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we really get it, it's the silence, it's the Shavas, it's the Eicha Psik. It's the fact that there's really nothing to say at all. Before we begin, I want to conclude with one other Maisa. We'll speak a few times throughout the Kinos, try to follow the regular Seder of things as is done here. And I'm new, so if I'm going too fast or going too slow, someone will let me know. The Taz, Kiyadu, was married to the daughter of the Bach. Magnificent merger of great rabbinic personalities. And unfortunately, the Taz's wife passed away. The daughter of the Bach passed away at a relatively young age. And the Taz got up to be Maspid, his young wife. And in the Hespid, the Taz put together this beautiful, beautiful Hespid. He wove together Mamari Chazal. It was so poetic, and it was so filled with references, and halacha, and drush, and agarata. Magnificent hesped for the ages. And everyone was so impressed, everyone was so captivated, so taken by the words of the Taz. A few weeks later, the Taz came to the Bach, his father-in-law, and he asked if he could have one of the other daughters, if he could have her hand in marriage. And the Bach said, thanks, but no thanks. Bach declined. The Bach said to the Taz, if you want to know why I'm not allowing you to marry another one of my daughters, I'll tell you. He said, the Pasuk says that when Avram came, after Sarah had passed away, Vayavo Avram lispod l'Sarah l'chosa, that Avram came to give a hesped for Sarah to cry. And the Bach said to his son-in-law, he said, you see that crying is an integral part of the hesped. And he said very, very sharp to the Taz, it was a Gadol B'Yisrael. He said to the Taz, if you were really crying, if you would have spent the day crying like you were supposed to, if you would have given the hesped the way you were supposed to, you wouldn't have been able to speak so eloquently. The fact that he gave such a hesped, and people said, wow, what a chizuk, what beautiful words, look at his brilliance. That's not a hesped. It's bachal not a hesped. If you would have been crying like you were supposed to, you wouldn't have been able to speak so eloquently. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to find the right words, to say the words of the kinos. Halavai, those who have the opportunity to share a few words today should be able to mechazer Klal Yisrael in a very fallen state. But at the end of the day, let's keep in mind the words of the Taz. Let's keep in mind the words of the Bach. That if we were crying like we were supposed to, we wouldn't have been able to be so eloquent. We wouldn't have been able to find the words. Be able to absorb that painful shavas, that horrible silence that hung over Yerushalayim after that bombing on Rehov Yafa. In Emir Tzashem, if we scream that cry at the closing of the Rebbe, if we can find that scream within our hearts, we can shed a tear like Rabbi Levin said so beautifully. And Emir Tzashem will be zocha not to have to do a nachmal tishuv of a nachmal tishuv. Shabbat.